Monkeypox is allegedly the latest threat. The World Health Organization has declared a global emergency. It's an international contagion necessitating a global response. It just so happens to have arisen on the cusp of an election, coincidentally. It's convenient to some because incumbents fighting wars typically win elections. And let's not kid ourselves, Kamala is an incumbent. Moreover, we have a precedent for treating contagions as seriously as foreign wars in recent years. The last time there was an attempt to scare people about monkeypox, the midterms, if you're keeping track, few people responded, in part because of COVID fatigue, and partly because it's a sexually transmitted disease that primarily affects homosexuals. Homosexual men are particularly vulnerable to sexual diseases, of course, because of the lack of monogamy in that culture, the intrinsically unhealthy nature of their sexual acts, as well as the depressed immune systems from the aforementioned behavior. During the monkeypox scare 2 years ago, then-director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, admitted that gay men were beginning to infect children. That declaration was raising eyebrows and causing people to ask the questions that are forbidden in our age, but whose answers are well known to prior generations. That is to say that those who are actively engaged in one type of sexual degeneracy are more likely to engage in others. Now that the monkeypox hysteria is back, we can expect the news media to avoid the mistakes it made last time, instead trying to mainstream the illness and downplay the stories of gay parents infecting the children placed in their care or purchased through surrogacy. We may soon find ourselves once again forced to choose between the scientism so common to modern men and our faith. When the experts in scientific fields proclaim that they have rights of dominion over every area of public life, including worship, for example, when the science determines that public worship is not an essential service, we must refuse. But it is not just worship at which the line must be drawn. After all, we serve God by the manner in which we live our lives, utilizing our gifts in how we interact with the world. We thus cannot perform a Christian duty by hiding in our homes for extended periods, while allowing a power play by illegitimate authorities. At some point, we must choose whom we serve. A religious obedience to scientific or medical authority is merely false worship, idolatry even. A core tenet of our faith is that the spiritual holds supremacy over the temporal. In contrast, the COVID hysteria became so extended because our age of lived atheism, even among the professed faithful, concerns itself only with the present, this life, this body, this suffering, and sees nothing beyond or above it. As such, there were no limits to what people would accept in the name of preventing suffering or death. If it saves just one life, it was worth our souls. The eternal realities were overlooked or entirely denied, in favor of what was perceived to be more real, because it was present to us in the here and now. People died alone, away from their families, and even funerals and other expressions of bereavement were prohibited, lest we forget. Those who gained power from the crazed masses saw no reason to relent, until they finally felt their controls slipping under people's impatience and exasperation. Then they loosened the chains, not because it was right, but so that they could safeguard against any embarrassment and avoid losing all control. Each of us must work to prevent a repeat by refusing to comply, but we must also remain cognizant that individuals suffer what the masses deserve. One good, faithful man in a community of pagans will suffer from the consequences of the government that those people enable. Likewise, as our society slips into widespread atheism, all will suffer the consequences of that toxic ideology, whether through outright persecution or just the ripples of an aberrant, unsustainable societal foundation. As that happens, we must band together and remember that suffering on this side of the grave is neither fruitless nor eternal, for this is not our final home.